It was one of those hot summer days, and Jesus was out on Lake Galilee. We recall that Jesus grew up in the town of Nazareth, but as an adult, he centered his ministry in the town of Capernaum on the northern shore of the lake. Jesus was in his home there in Capernaum, and likely he came out and people said to him, "Tell us a story, Jesus." And Jesus could really tell a story. And they loved his stories because he used down-to-earth language. He didn't use fancy, complicated words that he learned at some Bible school. Jesus told stories from everyday life about the common things of life. Stories about sheep and grapevines, seeds and soil. In other words, things that everyone there could relate to. But at the end of the story, there would often be an unexpected twist, a punchline, to make a point. And then the people would go home and try to figure it out. Now this day, the crowd was so large that Jesus got into a boat, probably just a yard or two away from the shore, but so that they could hear and see him better. And he told a story about a man who went out and planted some seeds. And in those days, it was the practice of farmers to walk through the field with a bag of seed, throwing the seed on top of the soil. Then the farmer would come along with the plough and plough the field, mixing the seed into the soil. That's how they grew plants, vegetables, crops in those days. And the name for this method of sowing seeds is broadcasting. The problem is that this way of sowing seed is risky business. As the farmer walked along and scattered the seeds onto the ground, he knew that only some of them, perhaps just a few, would take root and grow. Can you remember what happened to the seeds in the story? They fell onto different types of ground. Some seeds fell on the path, which was hard, dry ground. What happened to them? Well, as soon as the birds spotted the seeds, they swooped down and gobbled them up. And some seeds fell onto rocky ground. What happened to them? Well, although those seeds started to sprout, the soil was too shallow for the roots to grow and develop, and when the hot sun came, the plant soon withered and died. And some seeds fell where lots of thorns grew. And what happened to them? The seeds grew to start with, but the thorns grew as well and strangled them, competed with them, out-competed them, so they died as well. But fortunately, some of the seeds fell on good ground, where the soil was deep. And what happened to them? Well, they took root, and they sprouted, and they grew, and they grew, and when they had grown, they produced an abundant harvest, 160 or 30 times what was sown. That's the twist at the end of the story, although because we're not first century farmers, we don't notice it. But the people in the crowd must have. Say what, Jesus? Everybody knew that a twofold harvest was good, a fivefold harvest exceptional, but a 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest, that's impossible. A fantasy, particularly when we consider that the seed in the parable had a 75% failure rate. Sarah Dillon Brewer comments, "It's not at all surprising that most of the seed didn't grow. What's surprising is that the farmer chose to sow it there. This isn't a rich man we're talking about here. This is a poor farmer, a tenant farmer, who can only eke out a living for himself and his family if he not only makes wise choices about where to sow, but also is blessed with good weather and a great deal of luck. Good seed is hard to come by. The wise farmer makes sure to entrust the precious grain he has to the best of soil. But this one tosses seed about while standing in the closest thing he can find to a supermarket car park, where the pigeons will eat it if thousands of feet and car tyres don't grind it into the pavement first. In short, this farmer behaves as though that which was most precious was available in unlimited supply. What on earth is he thinking? But here's the real corker. God blesses a farmer like this beyond anyone's wildest dreams. Normally, the farmer who reaps a twofold harvest would be considered fortunate. A fivefold harvest would be a cause for celebration, a bounty attributable only to God's particular and rich blessing. But this foolish farmer, who, in a world of scarcity, casts his seed on soil everyone knows is worthless, is blessed by God in shocking abundance. A harvest 30, 60, and 100 times what he sowed. So the story ends with a big surprise, and no doubt it had many of Jesus' audience scratching their heads. What's all that about? Now, Jesus isn't giving advice on how to be a good farmer. He's not talking about real seeds at all, at least not the sort that you sow in the earth. He's saying that God is like the farmer in the story, and the seeds that God sows so recklessly, so indiscriminately, are his words. Words of love that can transform even the hardest human heart. And probably in those days, just as today, people looked around at what was going on in the world, with all its fighting and violence and wicked behavior, and thought, why does God bother? Nobody's listening, nothing changes, things are just getting worse. And just like in the story, we might say, why does the farmer bother? Because most of the seed seems to be totally wasted. But the point is that some of the seed does germinate and grow, and grow, and grow, and produces a mighty harvest beyond all expectations. And it only takes the word of God to land in one person's heart for it to grow, and for that person to spread that word of love to other people and touch countless other lives. I heard a remarkable story of someone who was converted in an unusual way this past week, and I read it on Twitter, which is an unusual place to find stories of people coming to faith. And it was a vicar who was reporting that, this Sunday, she would be confirming somebody. And how did this person come to faith? It was through watching the funeral of our late queen. Something about the funeral and what was stated there about the queen's faith captured her heart. And now, several months later, she's made a commitment and is being confirmed in church today, which is, just goes to show, even the most surprising seeds can produce a harvest. But it's not just God who is a farmer. In God's kingdom, we are farmers too. And our responsibility is to share God's love everywhere we go. We are, if you like, to sow seeds of God's love. We are to broadcast good news about Jesus wherever we are. Although it looks like we're often wasting our time, we have to trust that God will do the rest, and from those little seeds bring forth a great harvest. Well, that's what I think is the underlying meaning of the story. Later, the disciples ask Jesus for an explanation, and he gives them a more complicated answer. And he talks about different kinds of soils, which represent different kinds of people, and the different ways they are receptive or not receptive to God's word. I'm not going to dwell too much on those verses and unpack their meaning, except to offer a word of caution. Because it's very tempting to divide people up into the different categories of the parable and come to the conclusion that I, and Christians like me, in other words, us, surely we are the good soil that Jesus is talking about. Other people, in their stubborn hard-heartedness are the hard, shallow, or thorny soil that Jesus warned us about. But there's another way of looking at this. I wonder whether at different times in our lives, we all of us have resembled the different types of soil as we have responded in different ways to God's word. Perhaps as we look back, we might recognize those times in our own lives when we were like the hard soil, or the shallow soil, or the thorny soil, to a time when we were resistant to the word of God penetrating our lives, or a time when we were reluctant to it becoming deeply rooted and changing us, or a time of growth and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Thanks be to God that, like the farmer in the parable, he did not give up on us, but generously, recklessly, and indiscriminately scattered his powerful, life-giving word, even when we seemed like unpromising ground. In our first reading, Isaiah has a different metaphor to describe the dynamic and transformational nature of the word of God. It is like rain falling upon the earth, making dry ground burst into abundant life and growth. So also will be the word that I speak, says God. Rain is as ubiquitous and indiscriminate as the farmer's scattered seed. As Jesus reminds us, it falls equally on the just and the unjust. Or if you like, when it rains, everybody gets wet. Likewise, the seed sown by the farmer land far and wide, whether the soil seems promising or not. Listen then, if you have ears, says Jesus. Listen and hear that God is pouring himself out in abundance upon this world. Listen and hear that we should not hoard the seed that God has given us to sow. Listen and hear that God's purposes will not be frustrated, choked out, or wither away, but will produce the promised harvest, 30, 60, even 100-fold. To sow with this sort of hope and vision is to have the perspective of the kingdom of God. With this vision, you don't mind the rocks or the birds or the thin soil or whatever else may get in the way. All of that stuff just doesn't matter in the long run. It is swallowed up in the promise of the whole enterprise. This perspective, the promise of a vast harvest, is at the heart of this little story. Instead, remember that the point of the parable and the point of what we do as church is that by the grace of God, the harvest will be great beyond measure. What God can make of our efforts is more than we can imagine. It might seem that much is wasted, but that's all right. And the one who sows, that's you and me, does not need to worry about that. The one who sows is simply called to scatter the seed, to love and to serve and to tell the story and to trust. God will take care of the rest. In our reading from Isaiah, God promises, the word that I speak, it will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do. Listen then, if you have ears. And let me finish by telling you a story, although it's a story I think you already know. That one day God looked down from heaven and saw the barrenness of humanity. And God decided to sow some love. He sent the angels to proclaim the word that God was loving and steadfast. But many people refused to believe them. God sent the prophets, and many choked them out. Then God sent the Son, and he spread his arms out on the cross and said, "My Father loves you this much." Many mocked him and killed him, but some believed. And that message of love grew in their hearts, and they in turn passed it to others. Because Jesus died for all people, not just for those who were particularly religious or receptive, not just the ones who lived in nice houses and neighbourhoods, not just the ones who were nice and polite to everyone, not just the ones who had time, talent and money to give to the church. Jesus died for all, so that all could enter the kingdom of God. Jesus died for all, and even for you and for me. This is the word that we are to share, the message of the good news of God's love to everyone, through words and deeds and acts of love, even when the ground looks hard or unpromising. The rest is up to the Lord of the harvest. May the seed take root in people's hearts, and from it may a mighty harvest grow. Amen.
Amen.